Thank you. Turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 3. Are we welcoming Aaron from Captain Aaron from Iraq this morning? All right, great. Matthew chapter number 3, if you got the email this week, I think it was Staff Sergeant Jonathan came to Aaron this week and told him that he had trusted Christ as his Savior. And so I praise the Lord for what God is doing. And I can continue to pray for his Aaron's safety as well as his ministry that God has given him there in Iraq. Matthew chapter number 3. This morning I want to begin with verse 13. We want to talk about the baptism of Jesus. The message of the baptism of Jesus. Verse 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so, or allow it to be so, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him, or allowed him to do it. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You know, those who teach infant baptism, and those who, and most of those who teach infant baptism, teach that baptism saves a soul, they have a hard time with Jesus' baptism. Because that thinking about baptism, that it saves your soul, you know what? It just doesn't quite fit in with Jesus' baptism, does it? Because Jesus didn't need to be saved. He didn't have a sinful nature. He didn't have any sin. He didn't have any sin to wash away. Not that water can wash away sin. The Bible says that our sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's amazing that those who teach the false gospel, that they give great power to water. But you know what? The Bible gives great power to the blood of Jesus Christ. And you know, you can learn a lot about if a person is saved or not by what they figure has power. Either water or blood. Now, as we look at the baptism of Jesus, I want to remind you a couple of things. I want to remind you that Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. Now, if you listen to any of these Hollywood films that talk about the Bible, I've never watched any of them. I think I watched one, about 2 minutes of one talking about Abraham and Isaac, and I watched it for about 2 minutes. I got so sick, I turned it off. And I think you should do the same thing. You don't want your mind filled with Hollywood's idea of the Bible, because they have no way they could ever accurately picture the Bible. Not even a chance. But, you know, Hollywood tried to do, I think it was the Book of Luke or something, I'm not sure, a number of years ago. And in that movie, they had Jesus baptizing John. Well, no, Jesus didn't baptize John. John baptized Jesus. What was the message? Boy, I tell you what, that's pretty significant. John baptizing Jesus? Rightly so, John said, "Hey, why are you coming to me? You should be baptizing me, not me baptizing you." And of course, the Lord said, it's necessary. It's necessary to fulfill all righteousness. And so, John did it. We want to look this morning and think about the message of Jesus in his baptism. What message was he giving? What do we learn about Jesus in this baptism? What was he doing? Well, there's many things that we could say. This is a very important subject. By the way, Peter, James, John, they were all baptized by John the Baptist. And they were never rebaptized. I think it's important for you to know. And Acts chapter 19, when the so-called disciples of John were baptized, you need to understand that they never were saved in the first place until Paul preached to them. And of course, the interdenominationalists, they got that all mixed up. But you know, John's baptism looks forward to the coming of Christ. And the message is the same, only from a different angle. And we're going to see part of that this morning. Now, first of all, what message do we get? What do we learn about Christ? What do we learn about learn in the baptism of Jesus by John? Number one, we learn about the importance of humility. We learn about the importance of humility. You know, the Bible tells us that humility is an important thing. John recognized there was someone that was far greater than him that was coming to him to be baptized. And he it's bothered him. But look at it from a different standpoint. Here was the Lord Jesus, God the Son incarnate, and he's coming to John the Baptist, and he's having him baptize him. We have the Son of God coming to a mere man, a sinful man, and having that man baptize him. This rite, this situation, this Jesus allowing himself to be baptized by someone who is much lower than himself, speaks of humility. Now, what is humility? Well, the Bible tells us that Christ exemplifies humility. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he humbled himself and made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant." He was God the Son in heaven, created the universe, takes on human flesh, and he comes to this earth, and what do people see? They see his glory? No, they see a baby. He humbled himself. And the Bible says he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was the Son of God, lowered himself to the lowest point on this earth. He was allowed to be spit upon, beaten, mocked. Crucified like the worst of all criminals. Now that's humility. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. But you know, our world isn't anything about humility. Our world is all about appearance. The United States of America is all about appearance. The show. It's a show. Hollywood is all a show. They rightly call it a show, don't they? It's a show. You got people with a smile on their face, dressed up in fancy clothes, and in reality, sometimes there's a lot of really ugly people making look so-called pretty, and their life is miserable and rotten and vile. Big show. They're called the stars, aren't they? The celebrities. Boy, it's all about show. It's empty. You know, I like building. You know, I like building nice things. And I guess I've been part building some nice houses. I like building nice things. And not trying to disparage anybody. This is a generalized statement. But you know, there's an awful lot of beautiful houses in McQuanagle. But it's just appearance. In there, inside of those houses, is immorality, swearing, drug use, witchcraft, divorce, misery. Oh, everything looks so nice. That's appearance, isn't it? America's all about appearance. Putting on a big show. You know, that's the opposite of Christianity. It's not a big show. This was all about humility. The Bible says humility is important. The Bible says God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. What does it mean to be humble? You know, for mankind, much of what we would call humility isn't the same kind of humility that Jesus had. Because you know, for mankind, humility is merely lowering ourselves to what we really are. Rather than pretending to be something we are not. What does the Bible say about man? Bible says that man, Isaiah 44 verse 3, it says, all flesh is as grass. All flesh is as grass. What does the Bible say? It says, what is man? When I consider the heavens, the sun and the moon and the stars, what is man? You know, what is man? Man is less than a speck in comparison to just the size of our solar system. Nonetheless, the size in comparison to the created universe. And yet, we think we're so great, aren't we? Oh, America does need to humble itself. But that humility is different than Jesus' humility, because America needs to come back to the truth of who they are. They're just human beings that are going to live on this earth for a short period of time. And then their life will be over. And in that sense, humility always means to lower yourself. To lower yourself. You know, we use that phrase, people say, I'm not going to lower myself and obey you. I'm not going to lower myself and do what you say. People say in their mind, I'm not going to lower myself and do that. Humility speaks of lowering ourselves. The Bible says in that passage in James chapter 4, God resisteth the proud, but give grace to the humble. It says, therefore, submit yourselves to God. You know, when we won't obey God, it's because we're proud. When we won't serve God, when we pick and choose how we're going to do serve God, we are just proud. We won't lower ourselves. You know, the Bible tells us the story of in 2 Kings chapter 5 by a man by the name of Naaman. He was a great general, but he had leprosy. He was a general in the Syrian army. He knew that his life was going to be, his life and career is going to be cut short by leprosy. And they had taken a little Israelite young lady captive and was a slave in their house. And apparently he was a good master as a heathen. And the little girl said to his wife, you know, if Naaman would just go to the prophet of Israel, he could be healed. He could be healed. And Naaman told this to the king of Syria. And King Syria said, yeah, well, you better get down there right away. And he sent him to the king of Israel, who was an apostate, who wasn't saved, and he wasn't right with God, and said, hey, here's Naaman, I want you to heal him. And of course, the long story was that the prophet the little girl was talking about was Elisha. And here's big Naaman. He comes with his entourage of soldiers and horses with all the riches that he is going to bestow on the person who heals him. And he comes to Elisha's house, and Elisha doesn't even come out of the house. He sends a servant out there and says, go tell that guy, go dip yourself 7 times in the River Jordan, and you'll come out as clean and pure as baby's flesh. Didn't use those words. And Naaman was put off by the fact that, you know, a servant came out to talk to him. Not even the prophet would come to him. What is this? Consider that some huge snub, because he was so important. And he got mad. He got angry. He says, what is this? Dip myself and wash myself in the Jordan River? That's not even hardly a river. And he was about to go home in anger, and his servant said, wait a minute, Naaman. If he would have asked you some great thing to do, you would have been gladly do it. He said, why don't you just humble yourself? Why don't you humble yourself? And he did. He humbled himself. He forgot that he was big shot Naaman. He put it aside that this is a filthy old river, not really filthy, but, you know, a muddy river. Wasn't like the beautiful mountain streams coming out of the mountains of Syria. He humbled himself and he went down to the old Jordan River. And the Bible says he dipped himself 7 times. Now that's a pretty good indication right there. That I was in Israel and the guide said to me, in Israel there's no such thing as sprinkling water. It's all about immersion. And Naaman immersed himself 7 times. And he came up as white as, clean as snow. You know what it was all about? Humility. And you know why people don't get saved? Because they're proud. They're proud. You know how important is humility? It's the key to getting saved. The Bible says, except you be converted and become as a little child, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Humility. Humility is the key not only to salvation, but humility is the key to service. He that exalts himself shall be abased, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You know, humility and usability is compared to a shelf. You know, when I was growing up, we had an old-fashioned farmhouse, and the ceilings were 9-10 foot, and the kitchen cabinets went all the way up to the ceiling. And it took an awful lot of effort to get up there to the top shelf. And the stuff on the top shelf almost never got used. And I can't even tell you what was up there. But that's like a lot of people. They're so proud, they're way up on the high shelf. They're not usable. We need to lower ourselves and put ourselves on the low shelves so it can be easily reached. So we're available. Humility. Jesus talked about the importance of humility. We need to investigate the deceitfulness of our heart. Our heart deceives us. And many times, the real reason we don't serve the Lord, that we don't do what's right, the real reason is we aren't humble. And our pride has deceived us, and our pride is telling us that we're too good. There's such a thing as false humility too, you know that? False humility is, I'm too bad. But that's the same thing. That's pride. It's pride. I'm not good enough. That's pride too. When a person says, I'm too good, that's pride. But when a person says, I'm not good enough, that's pride too. Because you know why? We're all supposed to be available to the Lord. We're all supposed to say, Lord, whatever you want. And so we have this great lesson of humility. Now, let me ask a question. Do you understand human thinking? Do you understand human thinking? Do you understand how Jesus, being baptized by immersion in the River Jordan, was a very... was a thing that had a tremendous appearance of humility? Because that's exactly what it was. Humility. And that is really one of the great messages of believers' immersion. Humility. That's, you know what the world thinks? You know, Christians, they don't want to have this image of humility. You know what? The world, when they think of believers' baptism, when they think of baptism by immersion, I tell you what they think. I was unsaved for 18 years. You know what they think? They think, whoa. That's what they think. What are they doing? Exactly. You know, people don't want to be humble. They don't want to be thought of as lowly. The message of humility. Secondly, the message of and the importance of obedience. He said to John the Baptist, Lord, you are the Son of God. You are the great one. Now, we don't know. We know that John the Baptist knew Jesus. He was his cousin through Mary. And he knew enough about Jesus. He may not have known at this moment that he was the Messiah, but he knew that Jesus Christ, I shouldn't say Jesus Christ, he knew that Jesus was perfect. He knew he had never sinned. He never seen him tell a lie. Never seen him disobey. He never said anything bad. Never. He knew that. And he knew that he was a sinner. But he says to Jesus, don't come, you should be baptizing me. And Jesus said, just a minute. God has a plan here. And I'm going to fulfill God's plan. It becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. You know what God's plan was? Let's turn to John 1 and we'll see what God's plan was. Now God had a plan, and we're going to talk about at least two aspects of it and see how Jesus fit in it. John chapter 1. In verse 33, John says this about baptizing Jesus. It says, "And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water." Who's that? Who sent John to baptize with water? God the Father. "But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same," that is, the God the Father, "said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost." So what did the Father say? The Father sent John the Baptist to prepare people for the coming of Christ, to repent of their sin, to be born in the family of God by spiritual birth, and to declare their repentance by baptism. And he says, when you go out baptizing, you're going to baptize someone. And in that baptizing, there's going to be someone that you baptize, and when you baptize them, you're going to see the Spirit of God descend out of heaven upon him. And then you'll know that that person is the Messiah. He's the one that was predicted from all the way from Adam and Eve to come to this earth to die for man's sin. And you'll know him that when you baptize him, the Spirit of God will descend upon him and you'll see it. And of course, the Bible tells us that when John baptized Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, descended upon him like a dove in a visible form. And God the Father in heaven spoke. And he said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." And it was the fulfillment of God's plan of identifying who the Messiah was. It was God's plan of how Jesus was going to begin his earthly ministry at 30 years of age. It's God's plan. And so Jesus comes to John and says, "You know what? God has a plan. And I'm going to obey God's plan. I'm going to do this because this is God's." It doesn't matter that it looks, it doesn't fit into man's idea of greatness. It doesn't matter that it looks like that I'm lower than you. It doesn't matter about that. What matters is that God has a plan and I'm going to fulfill that plan. The question is, how important is obedience? The question is, how important is obedience? That's what Jesus was saying, wasn't it? "I'm going to obey the plan of God. You don't understand it, John, but I'm going to obey the plan of God, and that's why it's going to happen." And John says, okay. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." "He that keepeth not my commandments," John 14:24, "does not love me." Hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. How important is obedience? Obedience is very important. You know, we need to, Christianity today has lost the spirit of obedience. It's lost the spirit of obedience. I'm sorry, folks. We know it's true, and you know it's true. We have lost the spirit of obedience. Obedience isn't important. It's what I think. It's how I want it to work out. It's in my timing. It's in my way I'm going to do it. You know what? It doesn't work that way, folks. What do we think? You know, I'm sure you enjoy when this happens. We say, "Son, do such and such." And they say, "Just a minute." You like that? You like that? "Just a minute." Can you imagine a 4-year-old? You say, "Go make your bed." "Just a minute, Mom. Just a minute. I got to finish this program. Just a minute." You know, "I got to go do this. Just a minute." Well, what's different than that than adults saying to God, "Just a minute, God"? And what they mean is, just give me a couple months, give me a couple years. God, I ain't doing my time. That doesn't fit into the New Testament, folks. Now, I realize they had more real Christianity than is out there today. But it doesn't fit into the New Testament. The spirit of obedience. Joshua 1:8. It says the key to success is obedience, doesn't it? What did God, the Lord say about the people going to Israel, into the land of Israel? You keep all my commandments, you'll be a great and blessed nation. We just have to come back to the importance of obedience. You know what? If the Bible says it, we better just obey it. We better start just getting back to obeying the Bible. That's the key, amen? Jesus said, you know, I'm going to do this because I am going to obey God's plan. John, you don't understand. You don't know the ins and outs of this, but just trust me. Thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. This is God's plan. Now, if you're saved and you're old enough to understand what the world is and the flesh is and the greatness of your salvation, and you are old enough to understand what it means to say, I am going to follow Jesus Christ no matter what, then you should be baptized, period. You say, I'm not ready to obey all that's involved. Then you should obey. Then you should decide, I am going to obey. I'm going to get my life right and I'm going to obey. I'm going to obey because the Bible says so. I am going to obey. Yep, that means that I'm going to get stuff out of my life. Yep, that's exactly so. Why not? Just obey. You say, well, it means that I can't go to the bar and drink. Amen. The Bible says wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Amen. Obey. That's right. If that's what it means, and it does mean that. Just decide to obey. You see, you mean that means I can't go to Hollywood and go to the movies and watch this filth down there? I mean, this rotten stuff? You mean I can't do that? Nope, can't. Should obey, amen? Why would you want to disobey God about that filth? Obedience. You know what? It's the Lord Jesus, wasn't it? And the Lord Jesus said obedience is important. Notice what else he said. This baptism showed us the importance of identification. You know what God the Father said? He said, John, by this baptism, the Messiah will be identified. By this baptism, the Messiah will be identified. You know what? Identification is a very important Bible truth. Identification. This is a message throughout the Bible. identification. Openly show who you are. Openly confess what you believe. Openly declare your allegiance to God and the truth. Now you think about Jesus getting baptized. You know what? Most of the religious leaders considered John a quack. And you know, when Jesus goes to be baptized of John, guess what? He's now identifying with John, isn't he? Oh, man. Most of the religious leaders, they don't like John. They don't like him. Right? And Jesus is identifying with that guy? Oh, boy. He's going to lose some of his popularity, isn't he? You know, I mean, you don't want to ever be, you know, you want to be liked by everybody, right? Isn't that right? That's what life's all about? Be everybody's friend? No. Jesus, when he is baptized, he immediately identified, just by virtue of being baptized, he identified with John. And guess what? He identified with John's message. And you know what John's message was? You can't be in the kingdom of heaven unless you repent. What was John's message? Believe on the one who's coming. What was John's message? I'm sent by God to prepare the way for the Messiah. He was identifying with John. He was identifying with John's message. He was saying by being baptized, he's saying, you know what? That what John the Baptist is saying is correct. That's what he was saying. What John the Baptist is saying is correct. Identification. That's what it's all about. And guess what? But you know what else? When Jesus was baptized, he not only identified with John and John's message, guess what? He was unashamedly identifying with all those foolish people who believed what John said and publicly identified themselves as people who had repented and were looking for the Messiah. Put it in simple terms, he identified with all those crazy people who had gotten born again. And who said to John, okay, we've repented. Now you tell us how to live because we want to do right. And he said to the soldiers, okay, don't do violence to any man. And what does he say to the publican? He says, don't tax any more than you're supposed to. And what does he say to the rich man? He said, share what you have with the poor. He identified with those people. Who do you want to be identified with? Who do you want to be identified with? You know, one day, I was milking the cow. I almost never do that now. I almost never even go out to the barn. But one day I was milking the cow. And I had a headache that morning. And it didn't feel good. And so just having my hat on the brim of my hat touching that cow's side, it put pressure on my head. And that made that headache all the worse, you know. And I was milking a cow by hand, I think it was. I don't remember. And, you know, it was just painful. And so I turned my hat around so that brim wouldn't be poking me in the head. I turned that hat around, and so the brim was on the back. And I finished milking a cow, And I got in the car and I went down to Fick Cow Building Center because we're probably building something around here, and I went got some building supplies, and I went in there and they looked at me real funny, you know, and they kind of smiled at me, and I didn't know, you know, And so I come back from the Kyle Building Center, and I come up to school. I think it was Jason Andrich was there. And he says, "Hey, look at what Pastor's got on. He's got his hat on backwards." And hey, everybody come up here and look at the rebel, you know. The rebel. You mean all you have to do is wear your hat a certain way and you're identifying yourself with someone? Exactly. God wants us to identify with Jesus Christ. That's what he wants. Do you know, the Bible tells us, in Leviticus, in Numbers, chapter 15, verse 58. It tells us that the people of Israel were to have on the bottom of their garment. Hopefully I find the right verse. It's verse 38. "Speak unto the children of Israel and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue." They were supposed to have a blue ribbon on the fringes of their garment. Why? Blue is the color of heaven. They were to identify themselves as the children of God, and that they belonged to the God of heaven. And they were to remind themselves every day to whom they belonged. And every day they were to identify themselves in public as to who they belonged. Sad to say, that's in many cases the opposite of modern Christianity. People are ashamed to declare and identify themselves as Christians. They want to fit into the culture, the wicked culture. They don't want to stick out. You know what? I've said this before. In all my life, I have never, ever, once been offered marijuana or any kind of drug. Never. No one has ever offered it to me. You know, I have to admit, I lived a pretty naive life, praise God. I sheltered. We had unsaved, but we just didn't do those things. My dad wouldn't allow it. We had no desire for it. But you know, after I got saved, I would go witness. I witnessed to drug dealers. I remember one time I was out witnessing, and I didn't know it. I was in a drug house, right here, McQuonigle, right down the road, drug house. And people were coming in and coming out, and I thought, boy, this is great. People coming in and out, every one of them. And I wish I was a little bit more bold like I used to be. Every single one of them I witnessed to. Gave them a tract, start talking to them about God. And they were coming to get drugs. But I thought, hey, God's bringing all these people so I can witness to them. But you know what? I've knocked on a lot of doors in this town. I've been around a lot of people. There has never, ever one person offered me drugs. There's been plenty of people that thought I was an FBI agent. You know that? Plenty of people. You know why? Because my haircut is the same it's been ever since I was a little boy. Never had long hair. Always had a comb over. My mom always made sure that when I need to do it now, but she wouldn't let us go to town unless she got us in front of the mirror and her hair was combed. You know, that's advertising. Did you know that? And it still is. Do you know what? A comb over today, even more so, is an advertisement that you're straight. And that's the kind of life you want to live. You know what? God's all interested in identifying who you are. And you know what? I know there's young people in this room, if they could, they'd have a different hairstyle. Because their life doesn't match up with your hairstyle. Your heart is in the world. And you don't want people to think that you are righteous. You know, I shared this before with different people. I was a brand new Christian when Elmbrook Baptist Church took the name Baptist off of their name. Just been saved. They had a business meeting on a Sunday night. We stayed in the car. I wasn't a member. One of our friends was a member. They and came out of the business meeting an hour or so later, or 2 hours later, or whatever, I don't remember. And I says, "What did they do? What happened?" She said, "They took the name Baptist off the name." This is 1968. And I said, "Why'd they do that?" They said, "Well, you know, Baptist, that name kind of strikes of righteousness. And we don't want our church to be identified as a church standing for righteousness." Wow. They were ashamed, weren't they? Of a righteous and holy God. God's interested in identification. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven." Paul said to Timothy, "God's not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of sound mind. Don't be ashamed of me and my bonds, nor of the gospel." Romans 10 says, "Whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed." You know, God wants us to identify ourselves with Jesus Christ. The way you dress identifies yourself. What you don't wear, what you don't do, identifies yourself. And baptism is that crowning rite that clearly, visibly identifies a person with Jesus Christ and His kingdom and His will and His word and His obedience. Or identification. This is a significant message in the Bible. Identification. Jesus' baptism had a great message. A message of humility. Perhaps you're here, you claim to be a Christian. You know, the word Christian means Christ-like one. But you won't humble yourself like the Lord Jesus. You won't submit to His commands. There's something in the Bible that you don't like. And it just happens that we preach it, even though somebody else doesn't preach. You don't like it? Well, you know what? I found out that everybody has something that goes against the Bible that they like. And the test of their Christian life is what they'll do with that one thing. The rich man came to Jesus, the rich young ruler, and he said, Lord, what must I do to have eternal life? And what did he say? He said, Jesus, well, you should not commit adultery and you should not steal and et cetera, et cetera. And the guy says, I've done all of these things. And what did Jesus say? He says, but you lack one thing. One thing. You know what that was? He was covetous. There's one thing. And you know, for a lot of people, there's one thing, isn't there? One thing. Oh, they're not going to give up their rock music. Another person is the ladies don't want to dress like a lady. Another person, they want to have their drink. Another person, maybe it's gambling. Another person, it's immodesty. Another person, it's the 52-card deck. Another person, it's dancing. Just one thing. And because of that one thing, they won't obey Jesus Christ. They'll go to a compromising church and they'll lose their family. You know, one thing, same thing, one thing. People won't get saved for one thing, right? One thing. What does it mean to be a Christian? It means to humble ourselves and submit to Jesus Christ. Christ obeyed. He obeyed. Jesus Christ had the spirit of obedience. We say that we have Christ in our heart, but we have a hard time obeying just because the Bible says so. Christ is in our heart. We need to, if He's in the heart, we need to be people of obedience. Christ identified Himself with the people of God. You know what? There's a cost to that. People have told me this. People who didn't come to our church would tell me, you know, when I was in Pick and Save, the cashiers would say, look at a lady from our church dressed in a dress, and they would say, there's a Baptist woman. There's one of those Baptist women. Oh, yeah. And they didn't say it like necessarily nicely. But you know, who do you want to be identified with? You want to be identified with the heathen world? Or do you want to be identified with the people of God? That's a good question, isn't it? What about it, young person? Who do you want to be identified with? You want to be identified with the people of God? I do. That's who I want to be identified with. Jesus did. When He was baptized, He made it very clear which side of the fence He was standing on. And isn't it wonderful that the Lord loves us? the prophet Balaam was asked to curse the people of Israel, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and the Spirit of God said, "Oh, how goodly are the tabernacles of Israel." God looked down on his people and said, "I love them. They're my people." Identification is a great, great truth in the Bible. Young person, this is an opportunity for you to show your colors. You say, "Oh, that produces pride." Afraid not. You don't understand. You just don't understand. You know, when you live godly and you look godly, there's no place for pride. As the world laughs at you. The world mocks that. And I tell you what, it's not even close to the mocking that you'll get from so-called Christians. It's a very humbling thing to be willing to identify yourself as a sold-out Christian. But Jesus said, "He that confesseth me before men, him will I confess before, also before my Father which is in heaven." What a great truth. What's he saying? You know, he's saying, if I could put it in simple terms, he's saying one of the great keys to spiritual growth is to stand unashamedly for Jesus Christ. It's to put that ribbon of blue in your garment that tells everyone who you belong to and keeps you, so to speak, on your toes because you've come out. You know, as a pastor, I get scared once in a while. I'll go into the bank and I walk out of the bank and some teller will say, "Have a good day, Pastor." You know, I don't even know who that person is. And my wife will go to the store and they'll say, "You're the Baptist preacher's wife, aren't you?" And she doesn't have any idea who they are. And you know, I'm afraid there's a lot of people in this town who know I am, who I am. And you know what that means? They're watching me. They're watching me. And I don't even know who they are. They're watching me. They're making sure, see if I make any misstep. That really holds us to the line, doesn't it? And that's exactly what it does when we identify ourselves as a Christian. You know, those waters of baptism aren't just a few drops of water. That's a testimony to the world. I'm one of them people. I'm unashamed of identifying with Jesus Christ. I don't care what anybody thinks. I am going to do what's right. That's what it means. And that's exactly the message of the Bible, to identify ourselves. Jesus identified himself. Humility, obedience, identification. Great lessons from the baptism of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and for it.